This is the Kinky Cast, an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 138A of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We welcome guests with opposing viewpoints. Today, we will be speaking with Mia, sex educator and life coach. Here's your host, The Beast.
Thank you, Max. We're here today. I am out on the West Coast making a little tour of things, and I happened upon this lovely brunette. Hi, Mia.
Hello. How are you tonight?
I am great. I'm great. You are in the lovely city of?
Victoria, BC.
All right. That's north of the border.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So is there anything kinky happening north of the border? I thought Canadians were very bland and vanilla.
Well, apparently Victorians, especially bottoms from Victoria, have quite a reputation for being quite outrageous. So kind of a international reputation, I think.
Are you helping to maintain this reputation?
I think I am. Yeah, I think I am.
Oh, my. I'm definitely going to have to pursue your fet profile a little more closely. I saw the bruised boobs that have been out there for a few days.
Yeah, there's a few of those pictures.
How did you come into all of this, a wonderful adventure?
Well, I was actually a bit of a late bloomer. I was in a non-kinky marriage for many years and found myself single in my sort of mid-30s. So when I started to explore my own sexuality again, I was just really drawn to alternative sexuality. At first, it was more through the swinging community and group sex and that kind of thing. And then I met a dominant partner, and that it just was click. And so I dove in very deeply, very quickly. And no looking back.
And you haven't surfaced yet then?
No. No.
What are some of your kinks?
Some of my kinks?
Yes.
For me, it really is all based in the power exchange. So I really like consensual non-consent. I like to give away a lot of control and power. And then within that, I really I'm drawn to a lot of taboo things. So not so much the specifics of what they are, but the fact that they are taboo and wrong. So I do tend to do a little bit more edgy play and a little bit more things that are considered, taboo, things that are considered less of the norm. So I have done a lot of water sports in my time. I do a lot of humiliation play. Well, those are the big ones, actually.
You're keeping up the reputation for British Columbia then, right?
That's right.
Yes, you are keeping them on the map here.
Yeah, we have a little group here too. I don't know if you noticed it on my profile, the Slut Sisterhood. So
tell me more. You have me at the word slut every time.
Yeah, the Slut Sisterhood is all about, it's a group of people who've come together, and it's all about embracing and kind of appreciating and enjoying our sexuality and reclaiming the word slut and coming together as a sisterhood. So it's kind of ebbed and flowed in how much we actually do with it, but essentially we identify as slut sisters and we proudly identify as sluts.
Proudly identify.
Everybody has their own version of what that looks like as well.
There was a book a few years back by Dossie and...
Oh, Easton.
Easton, yeah. Yes. Is that along the similar lines of what the sisterhood is trying to do?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. That was called The Ethical Slut, right? Is
right.
That the one you're thinking of?
That's what I am thinking of.
Yeah, it is similar. I think a lot of what the sisterhood was about too is kind of giving people permission to act out their sexuality in whatever way works for them. You know, so that may be promiscuous, or it may just be about really pushing limits within a monogamous dynamic. So it's not about what being a slut means. It's just about being yourself and giving yourself permission to act out your sluttiness in whichever way works for you.
So it's bringing out the inner slut and version of it. And yours is the edgy one then.
Mine, yeah, I think is about, you know, it has changed in my journey. There was a time when I was really interested in a lot of group sex, and I spent a lot of time at sex clubs and kind of really exploring that side of things. And now it's more about pushing boundaries within, you know, maybe a relationship or a small group relationship. So more about just really being available to that person and really letting myself, you know, not have a lot of limits around my sexuality.
Now, this is kind of a counter to your vanilla personality, isn't it?
Is it?
You are a life coach and all of that. So you're a take charge, take no prisoner sort, aren't you, in your day to day?
Oh, well, I definitely have a lot of things on the go. Yeah, that's an interesting observation. But yeah, I definitely am in charge and a little bit of a control freak in most parts of my life. But I love to be able to relinquish that control with certain people. I mean, what happens is I am quite specific about the people that I do bottom to. There's not that many of them. So I have certain people that I just feel like I can really relinquish to.
So you're picky, but once they make the cut, they're all in.
Exactly.
Literally and figuratively.
Exactly.
How long have you been doing this now? How many years?
I was trying to think about that. I think it's coming up to 10 years. I'm not quite at 10 years yet.
But in this day and age, that's a veteran.
It is. Yeah. Well, I feel that way. I definitely, and I think part of the reason is because I really did jump in, and I was very fortunate to have some connections with really experienced, mostly dominant men. That's generally who I bottom for. And I just was very lucky. I met some, had some really incredible connections and have bottomed to some really amazing people. So I think that kind of expedited my experience also. But yeah, I guess, yeah, been around a little while.
Where did the coaching start coming in and the education that you're so involved in today?
I started a business originally. It was selling products like sex toys and kink products. And I have a background in counseling. That's my kind of non-kink education. So I was a counselor and a family counselor and that kind of thing for many years. And so what I found was people wanted to talk. So, you know, they were here to buy a product, but inevitably they wanted to talk about what was going on or what was happening in their relationship or their journey. And so it just kind of started to make sense. And, I just started to kind of meet with people in groups and then individuals and couples. I've always really enjoyed facilitating groups. And so the first thing I started was a supportive group for submissive women. So we called it the Subby Women's Group. And that was about 5 years now. We would just meet to talk about what we had in common and support each other and sometimes to have an educational topic. So that kind of just morphed and it became more and more comfortable. And I realized it was a passion of mine. So I started to take some, you know, educate myself and do a lot of reading and take lots of other classes. And it kind of evolved from there.
You are a lifetime learner.
Mm-hmm. And I just really have a passion for teaching and educating. So it made a lot of sense to do it through kink because that was, you know, such an exciting part of what was happening in my own journey. So I was really pretty excited about sharing that and coming together with other people.
What was it like making the conversion from the vanilla world of work to the kink world of work?
Well, I'm still trying to figure out that balance, to be honest, because I think I kind of put a lot of my effort into the kink community, and now I'm actually trying to do classes that are not necessarily for kinky people, that are more for non-kinky people. It was really natural for me, to be honest. That was where I felt the most comfortable teaching, because I guess, you know, that feeling when you kind of connect with your kink community and they're, you know, they recognize they're your family and it's like coming home. So conversing and teaching with those people who were on a similar journey was just, you felt really natural. And FetLife has been incredible, right?
Yes, FetLife has been incredible. Well, we're up to nearly 6 million now.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And it's just, it's such a well-run site for advertising events and for setting up things. So it also is just really great. I mean, you just put something up and you find out how much interest people have. And next thing you know, you've got yourself a class or a workshop.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
What have you noticed in the shift of people coming into the community since you've been in for several years now? I presume you've been on FET for since almost the beginning.
Yeah.
What have you noticed the shift in people coming into the community? Have you noticed the age difference or backgrounds or interest, or what's the differences?
Well, I think what I've noticed is that people seem younger now. I remember when I was first, you know, even going to swingers parties and kink events, that, you know, in my late 30s or mid to late 30s, I felt kind of youthful, you know, and then all of a sudden now, you know, there's lots of 20-year-olds and you know, younger people. So I think younger people are a lot more comfortable with exploring kink. And I think people also who are less, and this might be, you know, this may or may not be a controversial thing to say, but I think people who also, they're not as heavily into it, or they have a different version of what being kinky is like to them, but they're still interested in participating in the community.
I think that's a very interesting observation. And one that I have noticed too is there was a time when, in order to become kinky, you really had to invest a lot of yourself.
Yeah.
It was a lot of risk, a lot of work, and a lot of energy that went into just getting to that first play party and making those early connections. And nowadays, the shift has been so that people can dip a toe in, explore, and take what they want away, and without the such a heavy investment of their life into it, which I think is a good thing ultimately.
Yeah, I see pros and cons to it. I think that I completely agree with you. I think the pros are that people who maybe wouldn't have made it to parties or events or munches in the past now can. But I try to make my events a little bit, they have to jump through a few hoops to get to them, just because I feel like people should. I don't necessarily, for example, want people off the street walking into my parties. You know, I want people who are there and know what they're getting into. Or have, at least have made an effort. So people have to get their name on a list, for example, to come to my parties versus just kind of knocking on the door.
But doesn't that go back also to the value of something is related to how much you invest in it?
I think so, yeah. And I know, in the past, people were a lot more invested in helping and kind of being part of the whole process versus now people are shopping around for what's a good fit and good value for them. And again, I think that's fine. And I understand it. And I think as organizers, we need to recognize that and market to people in that way. But it's different. And so I almost feel like now we're going to have different kinds of parties and different kinds of events for people who are in different places in their kink.
And we are seeing that here in the South. We have a Fresh Kink group that is doing very well for the under 35 set.
Yeah.
We have the Littles, which is a blossoming group here. Then we have the edgier players, and they get to have their own time and space. Everybody will come together at times.
Yeah.
But and those times are more often than the individuals, but the groups definitely have their moment when they can focus on just their members and their interests without the noise and the chatter of everything else surrounding.
Yeah, and I think that's the other difference too, is in the past there was less numbers, so people kind of had to sort of, well, they chose to, and it was just by virtue of circumstances, everybody was kind of together, right? And everybody would be at the same parties, whereas now there is a lot of subgroups and events that are more niche to what people are into. And I like that part. I think that's really important. And I think what's coming out of it is you're getting sort of the old school people who are now having their own events that are more, you know, kind of similar to what they're used to or what they used to do.
What do you think this foretells for the future? Do you think we're even going to be more mainstream?
I think what I'm seeing anyway is that it's going to kind of separate, and there'll be different levels, sort of what we were talking about. But I think that will continue to grow. So you'll have lots of mainstream entry level stuff, and then you'll have the darker things that are happening that are less common or they're harder to find.
And for you and me, the taboo and edge players, we definitely don't want it to become too mainstream.
No, I think we're going to go darker. I think we're going to go deeper. And I think there's a little bit of I've noticed it on FET. There's a lot of people that are clashing these days around those kind of issues, you know, edge play, you know, consensual, non-consent, that kind of stuff. And I think what's happening is just the natural progression of what's going to happen is that people are going to just segregate a little bit and kind of come together with like-minded folk.
Yes, well, this whole consent issue is such a very slippery slope, isn't it?
It is, indeed.
We don't want to over-negotiate it sometimes, but we have to be clear and concise in it. So definitely a new area to explore.
And young people have a different experience about consent. They've been learning about consent their whole life, whereas older people, you know, we have had a different life experience. So for me, I'm not interested in something that's about lots of negotiation around consent. It's sort of like I said earlier, I just want to pick the right person and go for it. So I think that, again, it's important to have options for everybody.
Let's segue back to your coaching work. Are you seeing more couples that are needing some help getting jump started into this?
Yeah, I have. Like, it's kind of, my coaching is on the newer side, but it's really what my focus is going to be this year. And what I've found so far is that I've definitely worked with some couples where one person is kinkier than the other, or one person is kinky and the other person maybe isn't at all. And that's been an interesting dynamic to work with, kind of helping support both of them and find a middle ground and figure out how they're going to both, you know, get their needs met.
Just a few years ago, that would have been a divorce lawyer trip in many cases.
Exactly, right? And I think people are getting more, they're seeing that there's different options now. A lot more people are opening up their relationships and practicing polyamory. So people are figuring out that there's ways that they can stay together and still, you know, get their kinky needs met.
Which is very exciting and thrilling. We had too many marriages break up for really no reason other than there was no people to like you to help facilitate the conversation.
And I mean, and sometimes even you just might get two people. I've also worked with couples who've come into kink and they're both on board, but then, you know, for example, they're both bottoms or they're both submissives, you know, and that doesn't work for them either. Right?
Not if they intend on keeping the relationship closed.
Exactly. And then when the 50 Shades of Grey was all, you know, the rage, I was working with a lot of women primarily who, you know, got really titillated by the whole concept of being dominated and were trying to get their husbands to be more dominant. So that was an interesting body of work I was doing.
I would love to see your notes and the successes and the failures.
Yeah, I must be honest. There wasn't that many that kind of panned out that they were able to kind of, you know, live out their fantasy. But, you know, there were a few couples that actually did come in through the 50 Shades crazy and are now happily practicing kink. So
it is really amazing the male that will set their wife on a pedestal and then chase every other skirt in the land.
Yes.
And his wife just is waiting for him to chase her skirt. It gets interesting, the male. We are weird creatures.
I think we all are, aren't we? But sometimes it's just about that's a lot of what I do too, is just helping people get clear about what do they really want? Who are they as sexual beings? Who are they as kinky beings? And once they can articulate that, often, you know, that really gets rid of a lot of the conflict.
I'm sure that you deal with the more mature set. the late 30s, 40s, and 50s a lot more than you do the younger. And we have a lot of baggage, don't we?
That's right. There's a mix for sure. I also do a class called Eyes Wide Open, and that's just a community service class that I do. That's there's no charge, and people can come, and it's just a real intro to kink and kind of learning all about the specifics. And that's been really fun to do because from out of that sometimes become coaching clients too. But more than anything, people are just so happy to have that basic information, you know, what happens at a party, what's appropriate, how do I navigate fat life, what is it, you know, what does a top and bottom mean versus a master slave, you know, anything like that. I've really enjoyed doing those classes.
That sounds like an interesting class. And what's the setting of that class? That sounds like a very open to everybody.
Yeah, that's really focused for new people. So I usually really advertise it. I go in and advertise it in any of the new groups. And I, you know, I get a lot of people who message me directly in private messages, and I'm new to FetLife, and, you know, can you show me around kind of thing. And, you know, I'm only one person. So I say, hey, I'm doing this class, you know, why don't you come? So yeah, it's been great. And I have an office space that I use for those groups. It's a very laid back environment. And I even show them, you know, I show them the basics, you know, floggers and canes and paddles and clamps and, you know, that kind of stuff, so that a lot of people haven't even, you know, seen any of that stuff yet. So
what is the typical profile for a couple coming in? Are they middle class, upper middle, blue collar? What's a typical profile?
Coming to see me more through the kink side of things?
Or the Eyes Wide Shut?
That's mostly singles.
Singles?
Mostly singles. So people who've just come onto FetLife, often a lot of younger men. Actually, I've had a lot of men in their 20s come to the class who are kind of new, you know, new dominants, or they're trying to figure that out.
And they're willing to admit that they need to learn?
Well, they come because it's kind of about, here's some things that are going to help you to figure out your way through this kink world. So what does a munch mean? How do you get to one? You know, what's going to happen when you go to a party? How do you meet women? How do you meet men? That kind of thing.
I am encouraged that age of male is willing to open themselves up to admitting that they need some guidance.
Yeah, I've been pleasantly surprised too.
Because that group is so often, you know, the 20-year-old master.
Well, you just have to hold up the carrot that you're going to make it easier for them, and they're going to get more action, and then they'll come to your class.
Okay. We will cut to the chase. They'll get laid more often.
Yes. I think that should be the tagline of the next class, right? You want to get laid more, come to the class.
Yes, and we were noticing, I serve on the local education group, and one of our members were making an observation about how many more women that they were men in most of these play parties.
Is that right? There were more women than men?
Yes, that is our norm. What's your norm up in your corner?
I feel like there's lots of men on FetLife, but yeah, when push comes to shove, there does, I mean, Victoria, we have more women than men. Yeah. And there's definitely more bottoms than tops.
Oh, by far. Like, by far.
Yeah. Yeah. More, especially kind of experienced or, you know, tops. What's the word I'm looking for? Experienced or reputable tops.
Those are two words that don't always go together.
Yes, you're right. I would agree with you on that.
But it is the game for the male dominant, for sure, has the pick of the litter, shall we say. What is in the future for you?
Well, I'm definitely spending, like I mentioned, I'm really trying to spend a lot of time working on the coaching. I want to be able to offer Skype coaching, more Skype coaching, and more online videos and tutorials and that kind of thing. So I'm trying to take some of the information that I'm sharing one-on-one right now and get that online. I'm doing more better sex classes too now, which interestingly the kink community has responded to as well. I do like a blowjob class and a talking dirty class and things like that. And that's been a crossover too through the kink community. So they're not just taking the, you know, bottoming and topping classes, but they're interested in the sex classes as well. So I'm expanding that. I'm deciding on the classes right now for our fall Building Better Tops and Bottoms series.
Oh, wow. So there's quite a bit on the coming months for you then out there.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it.
And if you go Skype, you'll be global then, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a good thing.
Mia, I want to thank you for talking with us today. It's been a great visiting with you.
My pleasure. I'm going to come down and visit you too.
Do we'll love to show off our place and love to have you at our mercy for a day or two.
That would be amazing.
All right, thank you and have a good evening.
Great talking to you. Good night.
This week we have a two-part show. Continue on to number 138B on Grappling Play.